And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude Practice Holiness from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Practice Holiness.
Finally, it's a daily practice that every day, you know, there you don't live holy for 5 years and then you graduate and then you don't have to live holy anymore. There's no graduation day for holiness. The only graduation day is the day that you are glorified. And that's when you stand into the presence, in the presence of the Lord. I was reading about a missionary who had a shrub in his garden, and it was very poisonous, the leaves were. And at the time, he had a child who put everything in his mouth. And so the missionary didn't want the child to pick one of these leaves and put it in his mouth. So what he did is he went out and he dug up the plant right down to the root. But for some reason, it would come back and sprout again. So guess what he did? Every time he checked and it was there, he dug it up. Now, this process went on for months. And so, because he did not want this poisonous plant to spring up, he kept digging it out. So, how often does the sin spring up in our lives? Every day. Every day. Every day. So you got to dig it up every day. You got to be cleansed. You got to practice holiness every day. Now, this is the part that I wanted to get to, the application. We're going to spend a little time here. The application. All right. I put together some scenarios, how we can practice. See, I just don't want to preach a message and say, oh, yeah, go out and practice holiness. But I want us to see how this works. All right. The first example is road rage. Someone cuts you off in traffic. You blow the horn, and they make an obscene gesture towards you. Now, I mean, we've seen people killed in our country over road rage. All right. And I don't know about you, but I know It can get the best of us. It can get the best of us. So if I'm riding down the street and, you know, I accidentally cut somebody off, or I'm going slow, like yesterday, I don't drive fast. You know, especially if there's snow and water and ice on the ground, I drive slow. And so people pull right up behind me. And I know they're frustrated. I know they're frustrated. And, you know, somebody might pull up behind you, and as they go by, they give you that unholy gesture. Now, I don't know about you, but in my flesh, you know, that gets me. That riles me up, all right? But if I'm going to practice holiness, then what do I have to do? Well, we need to follow the example set by Jesus in 2 Peter 2:21. For hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us. Now look at this. Leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, when somebody threw the finger at him, He didn't revile again. All right? When he suffered, he threatened not, but what did he do? Lord, you deal with that knucklehead. You deal with him, Lord. See, that's a problem. We want to take him to our own hand. We want to speed up, and we want to express our displeasure. That's not practicing holiness. That's not practicing holiness. So you might as well just go right there. You got in the flesh, and you committed an unholy act. The holy thing to do is to say, go ahead with your bad self. The second one. Now, I tried to, and I hope I don't offend anybody today, but, you know, I try to think back to some of the things that I've seen happen among the saints. A smart remark. You are in a meeting, and someone makes a smart remark towards you. You need to think before you speak. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. So if somebody gets smart with you, and you just say the first thing that comes to your mind, then you're not practicing holiness. You're not practicing holiness, all right? Because the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, all right? Almsgiving. You see somebody in need. What is the holy thing to do? Now, I realize that everybody can't meet a need, but look what James says. You see somebody in need, what is the holy thing to do? What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? Well, we know that it can, and that's not what James is addressing here. He's talking about a faith that proves that you're saved. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So what is the holy thing? If we're going to practice holiness and we see somebody in need, what is the holy thing to do? To try to help them. Okay, to try to help them. Not you're riding down the street and you see Pastor Glaze on the side of the road, car broke down, and you see me in need, right? And you say, hey, Pastor Glaze, I'm going to be praying that the Lord would send somebody to help you. Yeah, we know that God is faithful and that he's not going to leave you stranded. And then we drive on off, right? Well, that's not being holy. That's not being holy. All right. Accusation. You are falsely accused of something that you did not do. Well, first of all, after you attempt, because I think that you need to make an attempt to set the record straight. You know, if you did not do something, you need to set it straight. And then after that, you just commit it to the Lord. After that, you commit it to the Lord. Now, again, notice what I said. If you've been falsely accused, you need to set the record straight. You need to go to whoever is making the accusation and set the record straight. And after that, you know, one of the things that I realize that is very hard to do. Now, let me say this. And that's why, you know, we shouldn't gossip. Because it's very hard to run down gossip, you know? You know, you don't know where it went. So, you know, after a point, if somebody gossiped about you, if somebody said something about you, you don't know where it went. You have no idea where it went. But you can go to the known sources and, you know, try to straighten it out with those individuals. And then realize that it probably did go further than that. And at that point, you got to leave it to the Lord. Say, okay, Lord, you got to deal with this. You know, and hopefully the people that know you and love you, when they hear that thing about you, that they're going to come to you. And they're not just going to take it for face value. All right? An offense. Someone does something to you that wounds your spirit. They can slander you. They can take advantage of you. They can do personal injury to you. They do something that, and I see it all the time with the saints. One saint wounds another saint. All right? What is the holy thing to do? Well, the only thing I can do is go back to, and that's Matthew 18. where it says, moreover, if thy brother transgress against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now, we know that there's other things that go along with that if he don't hear you. But the first thing that we are called to do, the first holy thing that we are called to do, is to approach that other brother or sister. Now, you know, we have all kind of ways that we duck and dodge that. Well, you know, that person is really not that holy, and, you know, they're not going to receive it, and, you know, this person is unapproachable, and, you know, we got all these ideas and all these thoughts, but the holy thing to do, and it's mighty quiet in here, mighty quiet in here. You know, I'm going to ask the deacons for a raise so I can recruit me an amen corner. You know, just some people to sit in a corner and just say amen. All right. Anger. Now, you are blindsided by another saint with something unexpected. Has it ever happened to you? All right. And so what's your natural, is, you know, once it hits you and it's settled, you get angry, all right? Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So you got to control your anger. You just can't let your anger burst out. You got the holy thing to do is control it. The unholy thing is to go off on somebody up in here. That's the unholy thing to do. Disagreement. Now, how many times have we been somewhere in a meeting or whatever and we disagree with somebody that's there? All right? Well, what do you do? You express your disagreement, but you do it in the spirit of unity. All right? You don't, if you disagree with something, you express it, but you do it in the spirit of unity. That's the holy thing to do. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You got a loose tongue. You have a tendency to blurt out negative and unnecessary comments. All right? Well, you need to exercise great care over the words that come out of your mouth. Psalm 41:3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the doors of my lips. Lord, if I have a tendency to just say whatever's on my mind, teach me, Lord, to guard my lips, to guard my tongue, and not just say anything. The holy thing to do is to guard my mouth. The holy, unholy thing is to let it fly out. Oh, here goes one right here. A compliment. You have worked hard on something, and you receive a compliment for it, and it stroked your ego. What's the holy thing to do? Have a humble spirit inwardly and thank God outwardly. Have a humble spirit inwardly and thank God outwardly. You know, and you know, I have to say, as a pastor, sometimes, you know, I get my share of compliments. I mean, I get the other side too now. So I just want to say that sometimes, yeah, I'll be quiet. And you know, you have to keep things in perspective, because sometimes it's like Jesus, right? That the same crowd that shouted Hosanna on Monday were saying crucify on Friday. All right? So, you know, that kind of helps me stay in balance, right? But you got to learn how to receive your compliments, because some people do things just so that they can hear another person compliment them. They do something so they can get their accolades or their kudos from somebody else, all right? But the fact of the matter is that we need to have a humble spirit inwardly, and then we need to thank God outwardly. You know, somebody said, man, you know, you did a great, yeah, you know, I spent a lot of time on that, and, you know, I gave 2 hours this week, and, you know, I could have been spending time with so-and-so, and, you know, it's a lot, I put a lot of work in it. Well, that's not a humble spirit. That's not giving God the credit. Now, you know, I'm not saying that you haven't done that. I'm not saying you haven't worked on that. You know, that there's That's understood. And I think that to some degree, when people give you a compliment, they are acknowledging the fact that they see what you've done. So now it's how you receive that, right? I mean, because the Bible says that we need to encourage one another. It said that we need to build one another up. So we should be in the business of doing that. But on the receiving end of it, you know, we need to do it in humility. We need to receive it in humility. We can't let it stroke our ego, and we can't let it blow up our pride, all right? Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored. Now, look what he said. He said, I labored. That's saying that he did something more abundantly than they all, and yet I, but the grace of God, which was in me. Where did Paul, what did he do? He said, it wasn't me. He said, yeah, I did it. I labored, but it wasn't me. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Is that your attitude? Or are you a self-made man? Or are you a self-made woman? Well, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm where I'm at today because of me. No, you know what? As soon, you know, I write in one of my books, the illustration about this bird that was trying to go, this frog that was trying to go south for the winter. And he couldn't get there because it was a long haul and he would end up freezing. And so a couple of birds saw him and they came up with this great idea. They said, we'll put a stick between our beaks and you grab on with your mouth and we'll take you down south. And so the birds got the stick and the frog grabbed it with his mouth in the middle and they were flying. And he was going down south. And somebody looked and they said, wow, look at that. Two birds with a stick carrying a frog. Man, that's a brilliant idea. Who thought of that? And the frog said, it was I. Be careful. Be careful where you give credit at. You know, have a humble spirit inwardly and thank God outwardly. We talk about practicing holiness, right? Impatience. You are standing in line and get frustrated because the people in front of you or just taking their good old time. Well, then you need to, you know, take control of your impatience by meditating on good things. Yeah, you know what I find? Because I get frustrated. There's no question. I get frustrated when, you know, people are fumbling around in front of me and, you know, and I'm like, you know. So I tell you what, just start thinking good thoughts. Holiness, right? Quote a scripture. Just get a scripture in your mind. Quote that scripture. Right? Not, you know what? Because Satan don't want you to quote the scripture, the line will probably hurry up if you do that. You know, it'll probably move through pretty quick. All right? But, you know, Paul said in Philippians 4:8 that, you know, we need to meditate on the things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, things of good report, virtuous things, praiseworthy things. Those are the things that we need to think about. So if I'm in line at the bank or in the restaurant, or at a light, or in the grocery store, wherever, you know, and I'm impatient, and I see it all the time. Because like I said, my tendency is to like roll my eyes back, you know? And I see other people. You know, sometimes I know when I'm taking a long time, I can feel people breathing down my neck. You know, I just want to turn around and say, will you be patient? But see, they probably want to say the same thing to me, all right? So if we're gonna practice holiness, then we need to change our thinking. Critical spirit. You have a tendency to be overly critical of things you don't agree with. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. You need to take control of your spirit. You know, Paul said that I don't let my flesh and my spirit tell me what to do. I tell it what to do. You know, and when our flesh and spirit is out of control, then that's when we just, you know, I've just seen people that if it's They are critical about everything. Everything they're critical about. And that, you know what that shows me? That you have no control and you have no rule over your spirit. Because if things are not your way, then you're critical. And you want to criticize. All right? You need to draw up the loins of your spirit and bring them in and not let them flap out there in the wind. All right? Temptation. Temptation. Now, I gave this one here specifically because it happened to me yesterday. You are stopped at a red light waiting to make a turn for several minutes. The light for the traffic going across changes, and when it turns green again, indicating that your side could go, the arrow didn't turn green, so you're still sitting there. It was about 5 minutes. So my thought was, there's no cars coming. I'm just going to turn. Meditate on the blessings of not yielding to temptation. James says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, I just want to, the first word, blessed, the Greek word, makarios, joyful, happy is the man that endures temptation. And I really would have been happy if the policeman would have seen me and gave me a ticket. There wouldn't have been too much joy in that. So you see the blessedness in not yielding to temptation, right? The blessedness of not yielding to temptation. Now, I know some of y'all turn when it, I know it. I know you do. All right? A complaining spirit. Now, here's one, right? I put this one here for me. I put this one here specifically for me. A complaining spirit. The cold and snow does not seem like it's coming to an end. And you express your disdain to everyone you come in contact with. Well, you need, don't complain. Find something to be thankful for. The person that is trying to practice holiness, don't complain. Find something to be thankful for. Paul said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The snow and the cold and everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Finally, you can add to this list. Now, I'm just trying to get you started. You know, I'm just trying to get you started because we're talking about, you see, I just didn't want to talk about this scripture where it says practice holiness and just say that this is what you need to do. But I want to say this is how you do it. You got something on your chest that you need to get off. All right. Well, Ephesians 4:15 says, because there's times that we have things that on our chest that we have to talk about. Speak the truth in love. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ. So God calls us that whenever we have something on our chest that we need to deal with, we need to practice holiness. And how do we practice holiness? We practice holiness by speaking the truth in love. So saints, as I started out by saying, you don't get better at anything unless you practice. And it's even true of this Christian life. Now, like I said, God has given us what to help us? The whole Mike talked about it. The male choir sang about it, right? God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us. But you don't get better unless you practice. All right? You don't get better unless you practice.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Holiness Gives Birth to Happiness from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Practice Holiness, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Practice Holiness. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Practice Holiness. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit anchoredinjesus.org, you can also request the 10-part series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, you can visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that's anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.